Welcome to KUI News, brought to you by Student Media and UI's student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Mollusca community, the country, and the world. KUI 89.3 FM is a student-owned and operated radio station, and all news and opinions are those of our student journalists and not those of our university. KUI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Mollusca community. For more information about Blot, navigate to blot.uidaho.edu.
Welcome to KUOI News. It's Wednesday, November 9th, and I'm Britt Kaiser. On today's show, we have, in the news section, information regarding the Students Come First bill sponsored by Tom Luna, a brief about the consensual relationship policy at the University of Idaho, and this year's ASUI Senate candidates. For RAR, a piece about the art of cooking. For sports, a recap of the men's basketball game on Saturday versus Willamette, and an update on both the women's basketball and volleyball seasons. And last but not least for opinion, a piece about the bill sponsored by Tom Luna. First, here's Anya to kick off the news section with information regarding the Students Come First bill sponsored by Tom Luna.
Idaho became the first state to mandate 2 credits of online classes for high school students when the Idaho State Board of Education voted in favor of the rule last Thursday. The rule will take effect with the graduating class of 2016, according to a press release from the State Board of Education. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna sponsored the Students Come First bill that includes this rule change and also a rule change that plans to provide all high school students with laptops. Dale Kleinert, Mauskull School District Superintendent, said he testified this spring at the University of Idaho in front of the State Board of Education regarding the rule change. "We currently offer 32 dual credits for our students with the University of Idaho and believe that having technology integrated in the classroom is very important," Kleinert said. "However, having a teacher in a classroom is the best way for students to succeed." Corinne Mantle-Bromley is the Dean of the College of Education at the University of Idaho. "I hope we study the impact of the requirements on student learning," Mantle-Bromley said. "I don't think we can just assume that this will result in increased student learning. We need to move forward with informed data." Mantle-Bromley said the main thrust of the rule change is to increase technology integration in classrooms and teaching, something, she said, all educators need to do. The Idaho Education Association, a professional employee organization that represents elementary and secondary teachers, education support professionals, and school administrators, released a statement Thursday opposing the new rule change. "The Idaho State Board of Education overruled the wishes of the majority of Idahoans and disregarded parental choice and local control," the statement reads. "The Idaho State Legislature will review the rule change in January of 2012. For KUOI News, I'm Anya Sandali.
Thanks, Anya. And now here's Elisa with a brief about the university's consensual relationship policy.
University of Idaho Faculty Senate unanimously approved a decision to revise the university policy on consensual relationships between faculty members and students. Paul Joyce, UI faculty chair, said the current policy included a paragraph stating that relationships between university employees and students are not allowed, but followed with another paragraph describing how to handle the situation should such a relationship occur. Joyce said the intent of the revisions was to clarify the contradictions between these two paragraphs and create a policy that is crystal clear. The policy now reads that when a UI employee has an administrative or academic position of power or authority over a student, consensual relationships are forbidden. If a consensual relationship does occur, the relationship must end, or the situation in which one person has administrative or academic authority must be eliminated. The revision was originally going to be voted on November 1st. However, Joyce said the Faculty Senate is a deliberative body, and if it takes longer for such a decision to be clear, then that is what has to happen. The revision to the consensual relationship policy will now go before the general faculty during its general meeting on December 13th. If it passes, President M. Dwayne Nellis will sign the revision and it will take effect immediately. For KUOI, I'm Elisa Egerin.
Thank you, Elisa. And here's Caitlin with this year's ASUI Senate candidates.
Here are the Fall 2011 ASUI Senate candidates, in alphabetical order by last name. Voting begins November 14th and ends November 16th. Andres Alcantara, psychology major, freshman, from Boise, Idaho, is non-Greek. John Bessler, major in chemical engineering, is a sophomore from Sycamore, Illinois. He's non-Greek. Max Cohen, international studies and chemistry major, is a freshman from Portland, Oregon, is non-Greek. Hannah Davis, international studies, political science, and history major, is a sophomore from Boise, Idaho, and is Greek. Zach Goitowski is a sociology major, a senior, and from Post Falls, Idaho. He's Greek. Skylar Carnoodle is a wildlife resources and conservation biology major, a sophomore from Sandpoint, Idaho, is non-Greek. Josh Lee, a business major, is a sophomore from Anchorage, Alaska. He's Greek. Narciso Lopez, political science, international studies, and Spanish major, is a junior from Weezer, Idaho, and is non-Greek. Kyle Ramos is a finance major, junior from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and is Greek. Colby Rush is a computer science major, sophomore from Victor, Idaho, and is Greek. Nick Tunison is a business, finance, and accounting major, is a junior from Boise, Idaho, and is Greek. Ryan Wagner is a microbiology major, a senior from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and is Greek. For KUI News and Anya Sandali, I'm Caitlin Kresselt.
Paralyzed and possessed by crusaders' deceit. Lost to the sirens that call from the turbulent tide. Bound by the science that lives on the lips of the
was Civilization by Justice. Now, here's Christy to kick off today's RAR section with the art of cooking.
When Colin Cassard was 8 years old, he wanted French toast. His parents didn't feel like making it for him and instead gave him a recipe, and it just went from there. Cassard said initially it was just making food as he wanted to eat them. By high school time, it developed into a full focused effort to make the best cookies and the best foods, he said, that then developed into his career. Cassard used to sell chocolates at a farmer's market and at Cowgirl Chocolates as Collins Chocolates and Confections. He caters now, but his school schedule doesn't allow for him to have full-time sales. Cassard decided to start his own business in high school. It got to the point where every time he saw a baked good, he said he would try to figure out if he could make it. One day he realized he had no idea how to make chocolates. Cassard researched the process, purchased textbooks, and soon began making chocolates. He said it was a slow start. He said the actual chocolate making process was simple, but the problem was that he needed to temper the chocolate. And if you do it wrong, you can get chocolates that don't come out of the mold, chocolates that have a white, powdery outside, and chocolates that just don't look good. They all tasted good, but appearance-wise, there was a lot of work to do, he said. Tempering was a process of heating and recooling chocolates so that the fat crystals and the cocoa butter form a specific shape. If you do it right, the chocolates won't melt in your hands, but will melt in your mouth, he said. After a year, Cassard said he had fully started to understand the chocolate making process. His inspiration came from his sweet tooth, and most of the recipes he uses are his own. He plans on attending the Culinary Institute of America after he graduates from the University of Idaho. After that, he wants to develop recipes for food processing companies to use for the grocery store products, or become a culinary teacher and teach at a culinary art institute. For KUOI News, this is Christy Atkinson.
Thank you, Christy. And over to Kevin in sports with an update on the women's basketball season.
The Vandal women's basketball team will get their regular season started when they take on Corbin University this Saturday at 2 p.m. in Memorial Gym. The Vandals played an exhibition match against Warner Pacific last Saturday and made quick work of the Knights in a 70-45 win. In the game, two freshmen, Stacy Barr and Chrissy Carr, led the Vandals in scoring. Newley said he was impressed with the freshmen's debut. As most teams have at the start of the season, Idaho definitely had some kinks. The Vandals started off rocky and saw several lead changes in the first half. On more than one occasion, the Vandals looked out of sync on offense. Newley said there was some communication issues in the play calling. The Vandals will start the regular season against a talented Corbin University team. The Warriors are led by NAIA All-American Katie Stingelman, who scored 19 of the team's 46 points against Gonzaga last week. The Vandals are certainly not the tallest team around, but they had the luxury of playing a much smaller Warner Pacific team last Saturday. This week will be a different story as Corbin brings some height to the table. The Vandals struggled in rebounding against Warner Pacific and will have to step it up against the taller Warrior team. Newley said his guard's speed are going to play a role in how this game turns out. The Vandals will keep the regular season moving when they travel to North Dakota next Monday, and then they'll be back at home next Thursday to play Gonzaga. For KUI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Thanks, Kevin. Now here's Theo with a recap of Saturday's men's basketball game versus Willamette.
Men's basketball coach Don Verlaine said he never worried about his team's ability to score. In the Vandals' 114-73 dismantling of NCAA Division III opponent Willamette Saturday night gave him no reason to be nervous. In their second and final exhibition of the 2011 preseason, Idaho exploited the Bearcats' size and full-court press. Verlaine, however, is still worried about his squad's defensive production, which he said needs to change before next week's season opener against Big West powerhouse Long Beach State. "I thought we got beat on the ball way too much. I thought our help defense was way too slow," Verlaine said. "We did a few good things guarding their ball screens early in the game, but we've got to do a better job guarding the basketball, and it's just going to take time." Despite an obvious size advantage, the Bearcats managed to penetrate the key, something Idaho hadn't seen against Evergreen State, a team that relied heavily on three-point shooting. If that wasn't enough, Willamette applied defensive pressure with a full-court press. This proved to be ineffective against an athletic Vandal team that moved the ball well. Defensive errors may be a result of the team's newcomers still learning the Idaho system, something Verlaine hoped they would have picked up faster. "I know what we got on the horizon here with Long Beach and Montana, our next two road games," he said. "We're going to have to be on it defensively, and we can't make the errors we've been making, but the new guys are trying their tails off. They're working hard, we just have to get some of those details cleaned up." The men square off against Long Beach State this weekend in Long Beach, California. The 49ers were the 2010-2011 regular season Big West champions and went 22-12. For KUOI News, this is Theo Lawson.
Thanks, Theo. And here's Kevin again with an update on the women's volleyball team.
The WAC tournament is looming on the horizon for the Vandal volleyball team as the regular season will conclude this week with two matches on the road, first at Fresno State, then at Nevada. The Vandals have a chance to finish second place in the conference, which would be the highest they've finished since joining the WAC in 2005. If the Vandals win their two remaining games and New Mexico State loses at Hawaii, Idaho will clinch second and a first-round bye in the WAC tournament. The Vandals are entering the week coming off a come-from-behind victory at Utah State. The star of the match was senior outside hitter Elisa Milo, who was named the WAC Player of the Week. For Milo, it's the first time she's received the honor in 4 years of play at Idaho. Milo said it feels good, but she's more excited about the team's wins. Milo received the honor for a stellar performance against Utah State in which she had a career-high 28 kills, propelling Idaho to victory. Milo also had 27 digs in the match, claiming her sixth double-double of the season. Milo said she didn't realize the night she was having until it was all over. Milo and sophomore Allison Walker have been the leaders of the Vandal attack this season, and they have proved they can both play at a high level. Both hitters seem to be peaking at just the right time and will look to keep it up as they conclude the season and head into the conference tournament. Milo said the awards add to the team's confidence going forward. For KUI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
That was Justice's track titled Cannons. Now over to Elizabeth with her opinion on the Students Come First bill, sponsored by Tom Luna.
Idaho proved once again that education is not high on its list of priorities. Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna's push to mandate that all high school students take online classes as part of graduation requirements passed Thursday after more than a year of advocating and revising the bill. The bill requires each student in the state of Idaho to take 2 credits of online classes. It is the last in a series of bills Luna has been pushing that increase the presence of technology in high school classrooms. The technology component alone does not necessarily seem like a bad idea, but several teaching positions will be lost and reduced in the process. Online classes will not solve this problem. In Idaho, more now than ever, it is time to focus on the importance of teachers and the benefits they provide to students in high school. The 4 years of high school are crucial in determining how students progress in their education. Teachers provide encouragement and are the mentors students need as they strive for higher education and find their niche in the workforce. Reducing the in-person factor with online classes will ultimately hurt students, which contradicts Luna's main reason for adding the requirement. Luna said requiring high school students to take online classes will prepare them for college. In college, however, students aren't required to take online classes, and those offered aren't worth it. True education and learning is lost when the only means of obtaining information is from a computer screen. Invaluable education and learning lay in the creative ways teachers explain concepts, use examples, and allow students to ask questions. The environment and setting of a classroom, whether a large lecture hall or a 30-person room, stimulates learning, conversation, and understanding that cannot be created in a virtual setting. Teachers are the most valuable assets to education. When it comes to learning, they are the vessels that transport information. It is not a textbook, slideshow, website links, or even a supplementary web forum. It is about putting students in a position to succeed. Success does not come solely from a computer screen feeding endless information. The information doesn't mean anything without someone there to explain it. Luna might think online classes will help high school students prepare for college, but college isn't online. It is a physical, hands-on experience, and only face-to-face interaction can prepare them for that. For KUI News, I'm Elizabeth Rudd.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Here's your calendar of events for Wednesday, November 9th. There's a first-time study abroad information session at 11:30 a.m. in the Clearwater Room in the Commons. These are geared toward students interested in studying abroad and will help plan a successful trip. It is recommended that students interested in studying abroad attend these sessions prior to applying. A Student Leadership Development Student Organization Workshop will take place from 12 to 1 p.m. in the Aurora Room of the Commons. These are aimed to help student organizations become more successful and effective. Although geared toward student organizations, everyone is welcome to attend. There's a one-day symposium titled Open Access, Citizens, Media, and Government. The symposium's schedule of events is as follows. At 3 p.m., a documentary by students Hans Guski and Ilya Pinchuk will be shown in the Iddings Agricultural Science Building, Room 106. Immediately after, there will be a panel discussion titled In the Sunshine, Holding Government Accountable. Participants include Borg Hendrickson, Lynn Laffey, Betsy Russell with the Spokesman Review, William Spence of the Lewiston Tribune, and moderator Steve Smith. From 7 to 8 p.m., Betsy Russell, Boise Bureau of Chief for the From 7 to 8 p.m., Betsy Russell, Boise Bureau of Chief for the Spokesman Review, will be giving a presentation titled Open Government, Why It Matters. The Department of Theater Arts presents New Play Wednesdays at 7 p.m. in the Arena Theater, located on the first floor of Shoup Hall. New Play Wednesdays features staged readings of new plays and will be the first time many of these works have been shown to an audience. Admission is free. Brian Johansson's guitar music will be performed from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. in Haddock Performance Hall. Tickets are available at the door. It's $5 for adults and $3 for students or senior citizens. That's all for today's calendar of events. For more information on any of these events, feel free to check out uidaho.edu and follow the calendar link. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser. That's all for today's show. Today's newscast featured music by Justice from their album titled Audio Video Disco. Justice is an electro-rock disco band from Paris. Now here's their track titled Audio Video Disco. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.